Hey kiddies, Adam Carolla here, and guess who's coming to Detroit? That's right, me, Thursday, January 30th. Motor City Casino Hotels Soundboard. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. Come on out and say hi. Hey, Chickpeas, Ace Man here. Before we get started, I want to thank you for sharing this product with a friend. Honestly, the only reason we're here and the lights are on and we've been going strong for over 4 years now is because of you and you telling a friend, a loved one, and or a coworker. So thank you so much in advance and enjoy the show.
This is Corolla Digital. Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California. This is the Adam Carolla Show. Today, a vacation recap and a State of the Union on all things Corolla in 2014. With Allison Rosen on news and Bald Brian on sound effects. And now, Complainer-in-Chief, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Mandate, get it on. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for listening. Good day, Allison Rosen.
Hello, Adam Carolla.
And Bald Brian.
At Moo Money wanted that one with the first top drop of the year.
Thank you so much for making 2013 such a great year. Coming into year five of this. Can you believe it? And it's all because of you guys.
It's definitely too many.
Yeah, we're definitely gilding the lily
over the
here.
Lid.
Thank you so much for making a success, and the only way it's made a success is through you sharing it with a friend and, you know, supporting us when we go out and do a live show. Brian's got a book coming out. My book's coming out 2 weeks later.
Very exciting. You want to go on a co-book tour?
I was looking at it on the computer today, just a straight 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. I guess they always drop on a Tuesday.
Yep.
Yours is the 29th. Mine's, mm-hmm. I don't know, the 13th or whatever of May. And you can pre-order both our books if you like.
I don't know if you got it. I'm sure you go to Amazon. You've mentioned before going to Amazon, looking at your books and how it's addictive to see the numbers rise and fall over the course of minutes sometimes. And it always says, customers who bought this also bought this. And it's nice to see our books up there. One's a little higher than the other. I won't say whose.
Right.
It's yours. It's nice to see people buying both.
I didn't know my book was on sale at Amazon. I just was sort of cruising around, and it was, and I shot it out there, and you can pre-buy it. It's called President Me, and Shrinkage is Brian's.
Yeah, cover to be revealed for yours. I'm excited to see that.
Yes. Had one of those awkward ones with my wife, with Lynette, yesterday, and she said, when are they going to be done with the cover of that book? And I did the... Oh, I don't know. We did it like 3 months ago. You did? Yeah. You've seen the cover? Sure. And then you start doing that back pedal
retreat,
shit math.
Retreat.
Yeah. I mean, I had options, but nothing carved in granite.
That's what you're mock-ups.
Talking about. Yeah, some really rough stuff. Mainly stick figures done out of charcoal by people that aren't alive anymore on the sides of caves. I was like... it's in the computer somewhere.
Yeah.
You know me. I don't like to burn you with me. So that should be up there soon enough. And thank you once again for the support. Get the Mangria. Come to live shows. We got some live shows coming up in Chicago and Buffalo and Vegas. And that's all on the calendar. And that's us doing the live pod. I got a live stand-up coming up in Detroit and all that good stuff. So we'll talk about the New Year's resolutions and things like that. I had a lot of first off, I was supposed to be shooting my movie Road Hard during the month of December. So I did not have Mike August usually whores me out all through the holidays and all through the new year because that's the good time to go to Tahoe and play the casino. Wow. And all that kind of stuff. That's your it's one of those, you know, it's like being a dwarf or something. That's your busy
yeah.
season. And,
or a dwarf accountant
right,
in the spring.
Right. Yeah. So I would say normally I would be working and traveling and doing a lot, but I didn't. And so mercifully, I was able to stay home for 2 weeks. I spent a ton of time with my kids and my wife and like just took them to the park. And
how are they doing?
I really had a fun time with everybody. I had just a small breakdown after my resolution, which was, and everyone is familiar with last year's, which was everyone else needs to get their shit together, which I sort of still stand by.
Yeah.
But this year, I internalized it a little more, and I said gratitude. I've always known gratitude.
That's a really good one.
It's everyone else needs to get your shit together?
Everyone should appreciate me more and be more gracious around me. No, the key to happiness is gratitude. It's just plain and simple gratitude. Like, people want to talk about, well, what's the key to happiness? Oh, I don't know, family, God, religion, success, education, whatever, community. It's really gratitude. It's, do you feel happy to be alive, to be in this position that you're in, to be living? I mean, just the fact that you're alive,
doing
literally.
What you're doing at the moment.
Yeah, doing what you're doing. Or even just being amongst the healthy and on the planet at this particular time. I know we all skate past that one, but just the fact that the alarm goes off in the morning, you get to get out of bed and have another day on the planet.
There's plenty of people who wish they could have that.
Plenty of people who never saw their 20th birthday. Plenty of people who saw their 80th birthday, but that was 200 years ago. You know what I mean? It's a pretty, when you take a look at the Earth and those who have been on the Earth, there's a pretty small minority of people that are on it right now and healthy. We need to sort of take a look at the calendar, Earth's calendar. I don't want to get too philosophical.
But this is the time of year.
But
for that.
I mean, yes. We're here for such a short amount of time. And when that hits me, and then I think about how I spend my time, you know, being upset about this or being irritated by this, then I think I should also have more gratitude.
We should all do that. And I will tell you, doing things like being knee deep in a documentary about a guy who's dead, namely Paul Newman, helps you, because you look at a bunch of footage of a guy from 1987 going like, you know, I don't blame the car. I blame myself when I drive or something. You go, well, that guy's dead. And yet whatever he's talking about or whatever he's doing at that moment's the most important thing in his life. And I guess that's how we're wired. It's going to be hard to get away from that. Probably society would implode if we all just hung out with my dad and went on long walks at dawn and didn't pay taxes. But there's a balance. And I had this great – I had two good moments, which was Lynette got me a industrial strength juicer for Christmas. And it was every year I announce, this is the year I start juicing. I start juicing. You should. 1987, the year of the juicer.
You announced this before you had a juicer?
I probably announced it enough that Lynette finally, but it's like,
she got the hint.
Every time I see one of those juicing commercials, mm-hmm. I am fucking inspired. And it's one of the rare things that is really good for you, and it actually tastes good no matter what you shove into that thing. As long as you follow it up with a green apple,
a little bit of apple, right?
You're fine. And you can put kale and whatever,
spearmint,
you know, toss an Asian in there, whatever you're juicing at the time. You follow it up with a green apple, boom, done. So I had two moments. First off, I got the juicer, and I was like, yeah, oh yeah, 2014, that's the year. Every morning I'm going to wake up and juice.
Maybe I'll juice ahead of time, it in the
pre-juice.
Fridge.
I juiced. I announced, well, this is it. I'm cleaning myself out. You know, all the figgy pudding and eggnog and all the roast and
that you don't believe in.
All the junk I've been, I've just tons. Everything was just either booze and pound cake or pound cake dipped in booze. You know, it's all, now I'm cleaning myself out with the juice. So I did that. And then about 90 minutes later, I said to the kids, you want to go to the hot dog train? And it was smash cut to me eating chili fries about 86 minutes later.
You should have juiced them.
But I only ordered one hot dog. That was my compromise. I said, yeah, I should have put the chili fries.
Use the dog to like shove it down?
through the juicer. So speaking of the dog, so that was, I had about 90 good juicing minutes before I went for the chili fries. And then I had about 22 minutes of gratitude before throwing one of my like crazy dance fits out on the lawn, which is we moved. And most of the reason why I moved and we moved was to have a yard for the kids. lived up in the hills. Kids couldn't ride their bikes around. They couldn't play in the yard. Natalia just announces, you know, I want a rope swing. You know, I want a tire swing. And I want a zip line. I want this. I want that. I want to play tetherball and stuff like that. And then Lynette goes into this, you know, DEFCON 5 thing. It's like, she announced she wanted a tire swing. It's like, I told my parents I wanted a dog my entire life. They said, so what? They went back and sat down and watched Mary Hartman. Or whatever it is they're watching. The point is they ignored plenty of my pleas. I wanted a mini bike. I wanted a go-kart. I wanted a dog. I wanted parents that cared. I wanted many things. A football with laces this time.
So you should have started the negotiations much higher. Like, I want a dog on a rope swing. No, I can't have our. How about just the rope swing then?
So she needs a tire. So we moved into a house with a nice community that was sort of kid-friendly. The house, not as exciting, but a nice big yard.
Not as exciting as the one you had before?
Yes. But a nice yard so that the kids could play in the yard. And Molly immediately started shitting up the yard. In which case, I found myself in the backyard having the catch with my son with the football that we were never able to have when we lived up in the hills because we're on a slope. We didn't really have a yard. But now I'm having this catch, and he's going out for a pattern. He's stepping in dog shit and sort of having to run serpentine to get around the dog shit and everything. And I realize Molly's shitting up this entire backyard, and it's all over the place. So I say, look, to my wife, I say, we gotta get her to go, like, in the side, like, where the dog run is. And what are we going to do? So what I do is I put up little fencing in the side. Side yard's 10 foot wide, and it's about 40, 50 feet long. And I put a little fence in there. There's a doggy door. Let her go through the doggy door. Let her get used to, you know, go on the internet.
Yeah.
Ask Caesar how to get the dog to shit over here because he's shitting up the backyard.
Yeah, because what I understand is it's really easy to teach old dogs new tricks. So this should be fantastic. Yeah.
Oh, I heard that.
Yeah, that's what they're saying.
So, you know, Natalia's going down her zip line, and I'm running next to her, but I'm dodging the dog shit, and we're getting these arguments, like, does the gardener pick up the shit? Yeah, he does. When was the gardener here? Yesterday? Well, there's 10 new piles of shit. Did the gardener not pick up the shit?
Vinchon is shitting in your yard.
Lynette bought the plastic spring-loaded Jaws of Life scooper one. By the way, don't get too highfalutin with your shit scoopers. Just the simple mini rake and the flat panel pan on the stick is always the best. She got like the weird talons that come down.
With the hinges.
Yeah. No. It immediately broke. So she's, you know, then it's where's the shit scooper picker-upper? It's broke. I'm out there with the bag. So we spend my vacation sort of arguing about where Molly is shitting and how to get her to shit somewhere else.
Perhaps,
and who's
going
to clean up the shit.
Not germane, and yet I want to know, how did the shit get handled at your old house?
Well, see, the shit at the old house was in a small section of the backyard, which was on a slope, which was a lot of just sort of dirt and dead grass, and nobody wanted to go out there for a catch or for a tire swing. So it was one of those things where the reason we didn't have the tire swing and the reason we couldn't have the catch is the reason we never stepped in Molly's shit. It was all contained to a thing that had a 30% grade on it and was no good for tossing the ball around. Now we have the yard that's made for tossing the ball around.
But it's collecting the shit.
It's custom made for Molly's anus.
She's upset you're playing ball in her shit yard.
Right. So she also likes to shit down this corridor. Now, the thing that made my New Year's resolution turn to shit was the garage is in the back of the house, and you actually have to drive across a portion of the back lawn to get to the garage. It sounds a little kooky, but it works fine if you have a kind of car where you'd park and drive it once a month. It wouldn't be good if you parked every night in it kind of thing, but you just drive across the lawn. And that's fine. So now, as part of the moving process, I'm going to take a couple of my cool cars and bring them over and put them in said new garage. And So there I am, and I call my guy Rob, and I say, drive one of the cars out. I'll drive you back. And I'm staring at this corridor, and I'm seeing some mammoth piles of Molly shit. And I remember thinking, first off, why? And then thinking, okay, when he drives the car across this lawn, I got to make sure. It's an old school 1960s car with the tires on it that are very knobby-esque, many places for shit to go.
Grooves.
Not a nice slick of for the shit to fall off of. And so here comes Rob now, and he's pulling up the driveway, and I'm doing this move where I'm going to run out in front of him as he's, you know, sort of working the clutch and working the gas and coming up and doing the sort of wave move out front. Come on, come on, come on. Then at a certain point, I see he is on a collision course with the biggest pile of shit on the lawn. And I'm picturing it. I'd already pre-pictured it getting pushed in times 3,000 pounds of pressure into between the tire, mm-hmm. into the tread, getting pushed up into the fender, the back tire then running over the same spot, and then leaving the imprint on the court in the front of the in front of the garage and so on and so forth. So I'm doing this move. Thank God I had something in my hands to throw. I was carrying some like Home Depot bags back to the garage. And I'm doing like, come on, come on, come on. And about 30 feet before the shit, I see he's just going toward the shit. Of course, why would he go anywhere else? Not his fault. He can't see where he's going. He's driving on grass. And I do the ho, 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 you know, hand up, hand up, hand up. And he just keeps rolling along. And I'm like, now it's going in slow motion. Stop, stop, stop. He can't. I'm in a position where he can't.
It's like Austin Powers.
He's just looking forward, going through, and he just, right, just through, and I just see it. You couldn't have moved the tire 3 millimeters to the right or the left, just right on, just completely flattened the fresh pile of shit, goes right up, pushes up around the side of the tire, then goes onto the concrete, and it's leaving that track that every revolution. There's a print every, you know, like when you used to do a potato stamp when you were a kid. And I'm just holding this bag full of like Home Depot shit, you know, little wrenches and whatnots and socks. And I'm just like, God damn it. I was like throwing it into the lawn, like screaming up into the heavens. Like, what are we doing? What, Rob, why didn't you see? Well, I was yelling, stop. And then, but why is my lawn covered with shit? And then I was doing like my tantrum dance.
Your gratitude dance.
And I realize, yes, I have a big, beautiful house. This guy drove a beautiful Italian car through a pile of shit. I should be grateful because he can just hose it off the tire. But it's because I was staring at that shit an hour earlier going, let's not let this happen. And I feel like I steer into that stuff. Like my no mayo means extra mayo every time. When I saw that pile of shit and said, well, I'll tell you, there's one thing Rob can't do with this car. He cannot run over this pile of shit in this car. It was done as far as the shit and tire gods were concerned. It was written at that point.
What is the tantrum dance?
It's just a...
So people who can't see you, which is the listeners, there's lots of arms up in the air, waving around, and the head kind of bobbing back and forth.
I chucked all the garden stuff that I had bought at the Home Depot.
It starts to rain.
onto the ground, done the goddamn it, sort of couldn't figure out where to run toward Rob and start yelling at Rob. But Rob didn't do it on purpose. He just, when I was yelling, stop, and my hand was flailing about, I should have thrown myself in front of the car. Thought I'd run inside the house and start yelling at Lynette about where's going on? Why aren't we picking up this shit? Why can't you train the dog to shit in the dog run? It's called the dog run. Have her shit in the... And I just really... I didn't know which way to run, but my whole gratitude, that
fell
whole
away.
Angle... Just, completely gone away.
I'm also surprised you did potato stamps as a kid.
Absolutely.
That was big in the 70s.
Yeah, anything that didn't really cost any money and consumed huge amounts of time, the Corollas did. I mean, we didn't do them at home. We do them, you know, at school or whatever. There was a weird thing about make a stamp out of the bottom of an acorn, make one out of a potato. I don't know. I don't think kids are going to give a shit about stamping things anymore.
Yeah, rubber stamps were a big deal at one point.
That's so funny you brought up gratitude on at the very top of the show. Christy and I were doing some early spring cleaning, tech a couple of days off to clean out some old drawers, you know, organize a bunch of shit, put away Christmas stuff. And we're cleaning out some drawers that have been gone. We'd a, you know, stack of plastic drawers we had brought from the apartment to our new house, hadn't been gone through in years. Let's go through this and get rid of what we don't need, and come across a moleskin notebook. You know what that is, right? About this big with the plastic or the rubber band around it.
It's where douches take notes.
So it's Christie's. So it's Christie's that she bought when I had gotten sick, when I had first gotten diagnosed, and she wasn't working. I wasn't working, and she had just started her her food blog, pardonmycrumbs.com. She started the food blog. She's really into blogging because it was helpful for her and everything. And the very first, she hadn't looked at the thing since she started the blog. It had a few pages of notes in it, you know, recipes and whatnot. On the very first page, the only thing written was just the word gratitude. And
wow.
That was today. And that was the only thing that she was like, let's really take stock of what we have. And obvious, you know, symbolism, but it was a very sweet thing to be like, oh, you forgot about this thing.
It is sort of the key to happiness. The balance part is, how do you get things done and get multiple things done and have that gratitude at the same time? You know, appreciation. In other words, you know, hey, you got a beautiful house, a beautiful car, and a beautiful wife, beautiful kids, beautiful dog that shits up, ironically, prescription dog food. So it's the most expensive, highest end shit that I drive through.
Yeah, the poop's expensive.
But how do you balance that, you know, with, oh, come on, this isn't really a problem. Be happy. You don't have any real problems. With that, I don't want this dog to ever shit in the backyard again. Like that. So how do you get that sort of momentum,
motivation
and that gratitude at the same time?
I think so much of that is just who you are. I think you can probably be fostered. But my grandpa, who just passed away, when he was – my grandma, who passed away many years ago, had a series of strokes, and she was not doing well, but she lived at home with him because he was capable, and they were advanced age, or my grandparents. And he would say to her, they'd sit on their balcony, and he had to help her, you know, feed her and get her ready and everything, blah, blah, and he would say, you know what? We got it better than 90% of the people in the world right here, right now. And that's an absurd thing to think. He's helping feed her, and they're old, and they're, you know, they're barely getting around, but it's his perspective, and you couldn't knock that out of him. I think that's an awesome thing if you happen to have it. It's just the challenge is fostering it.
I love it. I'm envious of it. There's a part of me that always finds it pathetic, but I'm always envious of it as well.
Damn it, that sucks.
The thing that's funny about Molly that Natalia said, and she's completely right, it's made me laugh my ass off. I tweeted out over the break, if you want to rob my house, simply bring a dustbuster, or anyone's house with a dog, just bring a dustbuster, because they're all scared shitless of a dustbuster. I don't know why. So we were pulling up the driveway, and Molly does that move where she's laying in the middle of the driveway, and then I come pulling up, and then she sort of looks at me and does the, yeah, you want me to move? Can you just park there? I'm planning on shitting out in the grass later on. You going to drive onto that part? And I do like to honk the horn, and she kind of gets up and she meanders about. And at a certain point, she gets away from the car a little bit, and I start going forward again. Then she sort of works her way back out in front of the grill. And I was like, this fucking dog has no fear of the 6,000-pound automobile. Zero. And it's also a point where I can't see where she is sometimes if I'm either going forward or backing up. But she will sit or stand right behind the car or right in front of the car. And I said to my kids who were in the car, I said, it's crazy. This dog has no fear of automobiles. And my daughter, without a missing a beat, said, yeah, but she's scared to death of the hairdryer. And I thought, that is so true. If you fired up a hairdryer, she would just go sprinting to the other side of the house. And I thought, I think that's what makes her stupid. You know what I mean? Here's something that could kill you. Here's something that could make you look fluffy and your hair look shiny and manageable.
And warm.
And volume.
And volume.
And volume.
And one, you're completely, I mean, you're fucking sprinting to the other side of the house. The other one, you're just going to roll over and take a fucking nap in front of.
Natalia came up to me at our Christmas party and presented a balloon and told me that she tied it by herself for the first time. Did she tell you this?
Yes.
Her balloon achievement?
With her tongue, which scared Daddy just a little bit. Just a little bit.
I can understand your concern. Mm-hmm. She didn't tell me that's how she did it.
Well, I told her.
She said it with a wink.
Told her to bite that. I said, bite that thing you tie the balloons with. Yes, she's has a lot of dexterity. And they're both. I should have a lot of gratitude about those kids, both turning into just great little, great around adults. They're not snotty or shitty or, I mean, to me they are, but not strangers, you know, friendly to people.
They're sweet. They're adorable. I want to foster you having more gratitude, and I also want to place bets with coworkers on how long it's going to last. At the same time.
Well, we got some phone calls coming up, so not long.
E-Voice. I'm thankful that E-Voice is in my life. You should be too. If you have a business, you don't have an automated phone system, you don't have secretaries, you don't have the budget, you don't want to be juggling those calls yourself, you want to look like a pro. Let's make more money in 2014 with E-Voice. You can get your business going strong with E-Voice. Let them manage your incoming calls, call routing tools, professional dial by name directory. Make your business look like $1 million. And right now, only for my listeners, you should have a lot of gratitude for what I'm about to say. $5 off every month forever. That's right, forever. Just go to evoice.com, enter the promo code Adam at checkout. Take charge of your business. Let's make more money in 2014. Remember, $5 off a month forever in perpetuity. Evoice.com. Enter the promo code Adam. All right. What did you guys do? New Year's resolutions and all that stuff.
My New Year's resolution is to stop drinking, eating so much as I did over the last week. We went to two different wine countries. You're going to find this hard to believe. Mm. Up to the Santa Barbara area and then straight on to Napa, no break, and spent a little time in the place where we got married.
Mm-hmm.
Ate too much.
Fortified wine country?
That's right. No, it was the real. Well, actually, we did a day in fortified wine country. It was delightful.
Mm-hmm.
Good times, though. Great food, good people up there, and just fun. But ate too much, indulged too much, and now it's like detox time. I got to get on the juice.
It's so fucking easy, isn't it? I mean, isn't it insanely easy to go, what time is it? Oh, it's almost noon. Mm. I could have a beer.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not doing anything.
Yeah, I had an omelet 3.5 hours ago.
Yeah.
Cheese, bacon omelet.
I've managed to, like, stay in my bathrobe until, like, 2:30 in the afternoon while I was holding a beer, while I was, like, walking around. Like, it's really easy to slide into that really fast and to start having, like, you know, well, what's wrong with a slice of pie with breakfast? I warmed it up.
That's how the Europeans do it, I think.
Yeah.
And look how thin they are.
So fucking easy just to slide into that. Let's pour myself a glass of wine. It's 5 in the evening. Sun's going down. It's getting cold. It's so easy.
Happy hour started so clearly.
I know. Allison, what'd you do and what'd you promise?
Well, my resolutions are, and this is one I made last year too, to be better with names. I have a really good memory. I used to be really good with names. I don't know what's happened, but now when someone introduces themselves to me, like, it doesn't even go in my head.
Yes.
So that's one. I'm trying that one again.
Mm-hmm.
To be more on time.
Mm.
Gary can back me up.
She was
5 minutes early today.
Mm-hmm. Successful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know how long it's going to last. And then also, this is more of like a bigger sort of philosophical one, just in general, to stop trying to change people's minds who don't agree with me. Because I feel like sort of in just my whole...
I disagree with that one, but go ahead.
See, I'm okay with that. Because I am saying this...
Well, disagree to disagree on your changing people's minds.
Who agree with me. That's who I'm speaking to. I don't know. You know, I think in various forms, when someone disagrees with me, it kind of... I'm like... Eh, and I want to try to change the way they think as opposed to just talking to the people who are actually getting something out of what I'm saying on my show and things like that.
It's a better life. Because not only are there going to be people who disagree with you.
No matter what.
There's going to be people who are just going to be insane.
Yeah.
And there are also just going to be people that have their version of whatever the fuck went down, which can drive you insane.
And they have a right to it, even though I don't think they do.
Yes.
I recognize that they do. Yeah, it's just easier to go about this earth kind of focusing on what you can control.
That is one of the other keys to happiness. I'll give you an example. There's a lot of, let's say, women.
Okay, women.
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 Women who have issues with daddy. Women who want something from daddy that they never got from daddy. And then at some point they leave the house and every guy becomes daddy and they're constantly trying to get what they couldn't get from daddy, including their own daddy. And you see them upset. And, you know, at this point, they're 41 years old. And what happened? Well, I went to my father's house for the Christmas and I walked in and I immediately complimented him and told him he looked very good. I had lost 30 pounds. He didn't say a word about it. I even brought it up at a certain point. He never acknowledged it. Now I'm very upset because the guy who never did this thing still isn't doing this thing and is never going to fucking do this thing. Is going to take this shit to the grave. Are you going to take it to the grave? That's the question. I kind of figured out that my parents, my mom, my dad, were sort of capable of this and that early and often, and don't go asking them. There are other people in your life and people you can surround yourself with who are incredibly supportive, who you can get that from, whatever that is for you. But then there are other people where you're just not going to get it.
That's part of...
And stop asking for it. It's going to be a life of disappointment.
Yeah, that's part of what my, you know, stop trying to change people's minds thing. It does include my parents in a way because I feel like I can get into this pattern where I'm trying repeatedly to explain myself to like make... I want to be understood in this way where it's like just... I can just understand myself and that's it. I don't need to make these two human beings who don't get this get it.
Well, not only that, much like Molly, who's about my parents' age in dog years, they're pretty much set in their ways.
Yeah.
If it didn't happen in their 50s, 60s.
Well, it got me this far.
And, yeah, stay the course. What course? All right. So the point is don't go in wearing a pair of tight jeans and expecting them to compliment you.
I know you mean that literally.
I do. I also had this funny thought while I was walking around. I was walking over the weekend with my kids and the dog, and I was on a sort of trail. People may not know this, but here in Southern California and in the basin in Los Angeles, there are plenty of places where you can kind of own a horse and ride a horse.
It's on the street from here. I see horses all the time on the way to work.
And you can jog along these things. You can ride a mountain bike. You can ride your horse. You take your dog for a walk, what have you. And they're scattered. Even though the areas aren't that rural, you'd be surprised.
There's trails and there's property.
Yes. I was cleaning up Molly's shit because I took Molly for a walk and I stepped in horse shit.
Oh, no.
And I thought, why do you not have to pick up the biggest shit of all? Do you know what I'm saying? Horses get a...
Imagine the jaws of life used for that.
Well, yeah, use like a gantry crane, like at a shipping yard. The horse shit, now albeit it's not as vile as dog shit, but horse shit is the largest shit. I mean, yeah, there's bull elephants and stuff, but we don't run into a lot of them in the La Cañada Flint Ridge area. There's only a handful of folks that have bull elephants and things like hippopotami and things like that.
They're mostly in Pasadena.
But horses do shit, and the people who ride said horses while they shit are under zero obligation to pick up said horse shit. I don't even ride my dog. I don't even get the satisfaction. I mean, rarely. All right, if I'm really drunk,
it's been a while.
And I'm trying to get home.
Speaking of resolution,
in general,
you
don't use her as a beast of burden.
No, I don't have her hooked up to a fucking plow, although I wish I could. Mm-hmm. I don't ride her, or like I said, unless I'm really shit-faced and I'm trying to get back to my house and I've just run out of legs, you know, that kind of thing, or broken a heel or something like that in a pump. You know what I'm saying.
But or I ripped the heel off in anger and thrown it at someone.
That's right. I rarely ride my dog. You are riding this thing, which means you're getting a lot more out of it than my thing. My thing is just literally I'm dragging it out down the street so it can shit somewhere and I can pick it up.
You can't throw a cup out your window when you're driving. That's litter.
You can't throw a cigarette butt out your window.
Right. This horse is throwing poo out its butt.
Yeah.
Why don't they have the sack? I mean, they should have the sack like they have at Central Park.
Oh, yeah, that catches the refuse.
Well, it's not like we don't have the technology to create a shit sale. Look very bad in front of a store.
Yeah.
But what I'm
saying
is,
this is the worst episode of Shark Tank ever.
It is. It's a fucking sack that literally just... couple things. First off, I would say of all the beasts on God's planet here, nothing is more used to having shit strapped onto it than a horse. Mm-hmm. You know, you take an ostrich and you try to put a saddle on, it's going to get freaked out. It doesn't work well with many reptiles and things like that. But horses, they're pretty much bred to have shit strapped onto them and then be mounted by lesbians or Bill Shatner.
Sure. One or the other.
Right. Same haircut. Point is this. You could strap this on. We worked it out in Central Park. We have these horses, and they pull people around in carriages, but we don't want their shit all over the park. So
they have a poo hammock.
Yeah, and it just kind of goes on their ass. And then when you get back to wherever you're at, you go ahead and empty that poo thing. Why not? In a world where, again, I think if you chucked an apple core out of a window and a cop was behind you, he'd probably pull you over.
Oh, yeah. If you're in Santa Monica, he'd flog you.
Yes, you'd be beaten on the sidewalk. A cigarette butt or a cup, even if it's, you know, just a paper cup, you'd be flogged by the side of the freeway. But the huge piles of horse shit, no problemo. And a lot of people are walking those trails. And again, ironically, stepping in horse shit while bending over to pick up dog shit, which has been dwarfed by your horse shit.
What could we feed dogs to make their shit the same consistency as horse shit, which would be an upgrade?
It's just an arms race at this point.
Uh-huh.
It'd be nice. But either way, I think the ass sack your horse could be retrofitted with for, you know, $18.
A diaper, essentially.
Yeah, they exist. It's not like the guys who run the Central Park carriages have to get those things bootlegged in from China or something. You'd probably go online and buy one these days.
Generally,
put a diaper on your horse.
If you have a horse, you're doing pretty well.
Yeah.
Well, actually, rich man, poor man. But out here, if you have a horse, you're doing pretty well.
Right. You can afford the shit diaper. All right. Probably a little redundant there. We got phone calls. Let's see. What do you guys got up there? Let's see. Show being
well, line
in five
one, this
years.
Is the, this is the State of the Union show. I'm curious
all
what
right.
your thoughts are on that.
Hey, Will, 39, Washington.
Hey, guys. It's a real honor to be the first to wish you a happy new year, and thank you for a terrific 2013.
Thank you so much, Will. What's going on?
Congratulations to Brian on the win.
Are you off your are you on your phone, your cell phone, are you off your speaker?
I am, yeah. Let me try. Does that work better?
Yeah. Not really.
Okay, I'm sorry about that. I apologize.
Okay.
My question is, in 4 years, you started the show the same week was my first week of unemployment, down in the recession, and I obviously haven't matched your success. Where would you like to be? Where do
what?
You see the
Hold
show
on,
going?
Will, what is going on?
Why is he cleaning his phone right now?
I apologize. Let me. Is this better? I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's good.
I'm sorry.
Sorry.
I don't know what. I apologize. That's really annoying.
Please tell me you just threw something.
I did. And my wife and children.
Good.
Where would you? I've taken enough of your time. Where would you like to be in 5 years? Like terrific shows, like yourself, like Artie Lang. They broadcast on TV. Dan Patrick. Where do you see? Obviously, there's tons of people coming after you because you're so fantastic and offering you things.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why
no,
are you choosing
but, yeah.
to keep it so small when so many people are coming after you?
Why are you bridling yourself?
Yeah.
No. I mean, coming after you like success. You're the biggest. You're the best. Where would you like to see? You've grown
Thanks.
It from
All right,
recording.
I appreciate it. look, to me, I never, here's another New Year's thing for you guys. I figured this one out early and often, though. This is one, the gratitude thing I dropped the ball on 8 minutes after I made the proclamation to the heavens with the dog shit and the car tire. But this, I've remained consistent on my entire life. People always say to me, did you ever imagine the Man Show being such a success? I go, no, never. But that doesn't mean I ever thought it wouldn't be. I just never imagined. That's not my job isn't to imagine. My job is to feed coal into this locomotive as fast as I can and lay track down in front of it as fast as I can. Did you ever imagine you'd get over that mountain range or across that ravine or into Carson City? I don't think about that part. I just think about shoveling coal and laying down track.
Wow.
First sniff, 2014. I didn't think I wouldn't be successful. I didn't think I would be successful. That's not part of the equation. I'm only thinking about things to give myself the best chance to be successful. It's sort of like my kids. I don't know what they're going to do. I would like them to have a great environment. I would like them to get a good education. I'd like them to know that mommy and daddy and Trophy Mom all love them very much.
Varying degrees, but yeah.
Right. Yeah. I want them to know all of these things, and then they can go off and do what they will. I hope they're successful. My job is to sort of equip them. And I just feel like in life, I'm going to keep going onward and upward. But whatever, I can't tell you what's going to happen. I'm not interested in what's going to happen. I don't know that good things are going to happen. I know that you put yourself in the best position for a good thing to happen if you shovel coal and lay down track.
Well, to extend the analogy, you don't know what's over that mountain. You know what I mean? It could be Carson City. It could be another mountain. It could be a very deep valley. You know what I mean? You just got to keep have enough coal to get you through whatever that next stretch of track is.
Yeah, I finished the book over the break, and I finished the Road Hard script as well. And people always do it's human nature, but I think we should knock it off. When people do the, so what are your plans with the movie? Like, what are you going to do? You think about theatrical distribution, or are you just thinking about pay-per-view or like home, whatever? And I go, right now, I would like to make this script the best I can make this script. And then they go, right, but for distribution later on. I go, what will give me the best shot at distribution will be to make the script the best I can make it. I don't want to get caught burning calories. And I'm not saying don't look ahead, don't put some money away for a rainy day. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is I don't want to get so focused on what this film, where it could be, or what accolades it could garner, or what film festivals it could get. I don't want to get mired in that. I want to spend all my energy on making the best script I can make, and then shooting the best film I can make. But I do, all that being said, I know that'll give me the best chance of having the most accolades and getting distribution and so on and so forth.
Have you always been that way, or did you at one point fantasize about what might be one day?
I've always been this way. I've never been surprised by any success I've ever had, but I've never been surprised when stuff I did didn't work out or was passed over or not acknowledged or what have you. It's just, I realize the universe doesn't really care, and there are going to be times when you do things that are going to capture people's imaginations. You're going to get a lot of money and accolades, and then there's going to be stuff that you do that may be even better that no one will ever hear of. I don't know. And your job is to just put your head down and shovel the coal.
It also helps a lot with disappointment, too. I mean, the one that sticks out in my mind from what you mentioned before is when you were doing your, I think it was your CBS pilot, one of the pilots, and you were saying, oh, a long day, and the network executive was like, oh, get ready to do a lot more of these, while you were still doing the pilot, and it's like, you get excited, you know, oh, get ready to do a lot more of these. Wow, you start planning, you know, you're like, oh, I'm planning my Emmy acceptance speech. Obviously an exaggeration, but you know what I'm saying? Like, helps you not be disappointed when maybe that thing doesn't plan out. Just go on to the next thing.
I am wired because of the way my family was to manage my disappointment level all the time. So I never really think, I mean, yes, I wasn't, we had done the pilot. The pilot was a long day of multi-camera shooting, and I was in every scene, so I had to remember like 47 pages of dialogue. Speaking of remembering people's names, oh, God.
Which you wrote.
It's true, but it got changed so many fucking times. My son's name got changed 3 times, for the love of Christ. So it's like just getting used to your – the only thing worse than memorizing dialogue is memorizing new dialogue in place of the old dialogue where you had to tweak it or you change it, or the attorney said you got to change your son's name from Steve to Rick or whatever the fuck we had to do. But the head of CBS Comedy came to me and said, I said, woo, that was a long day. And she said, be prepared to do a lot more of these. And
could another network some other day.
But look, that's the way it goes, everybody. And
but then you get naturally kind of excited. You're like, ooh, they're, you know, it's going to happen.
No, but you know, look, as far as the podcast goes, onward and upward, and whatever that means is whatever it means. I try every day to think of you know, what is it? And I know you've had this analogy before. You're going to get it again. The motor makes 500 horsepower. That's not the question. What are you getting to your rear wheels? And it just happens all the time where I just say, Porcelain Punisher, what's going on with the store? I don't know. Well, what about our hats with the new logos? Are those in the store?
Boom.
Well, I can call the guy. No, or whatever. How come? And okay, let's do it. So that's three more horsepower to the rear wheels. The 500 horsepower, that part doesn't matter. It's what's coming out of the, what's coming down to the rear wheels. And that's the part that I think about all the time.
No, Alice was explaining the horsepower analogy to me earlier. I get it now.
Yeah,
you get it now.
He said pretty much what I said, right? I mean, I had diagrams,
mm-hmm.
but yeah, roughly the same.
Well,
I would like to see this show on ice.
I know. Look, I'll give you a real good example. We all know the Def Frat guy.
Yes.
He's one of the funniest guys I've ever met.
Yes, he is.
I know many, many people that are much less funnier than he is who are quite a bit more successful. So there's someone with a 500 horsepower.
That's everyone in the world.
500 horsepower comedy engine that just does not get that much to the rear wheels. Through whatever reason, does not get it down to the rear wheels. And then we know those people who weren't exactly blessed with the comedy gene or the whatever gene, and yet seem to have tremendous success.
Right. And you wonder, what is going on there? Is it that they are just incredibly motivated? Are they charismatic? Are they good at talk? Because where I, the sort of missing link for me, is I get hung up on, oh, if only I were more persuasive or more this or more that. Like somehow if my attitude were different, things would be happening differently as opposed to if the quality of work were different.
Right.
And I don't, how much is it attitude and how much is it the actual product?
I really don't know all, again, I know that most of the bad things that happen in your life, whether it's a DUI, a divorce, or getting fired, or never getting hired, will be you. That'll be you. That'll be you bringing it on you. Spend a ton of time obsessing over the teacher that has it in or out for you, the coach that doesn't like you for no good reason, the boss that has it out for you because he's jealous, because you do the work of 10.
Well, you threaten him.
And you threaten him with how, yeah, he sees too much of himself in you. Whatever the fuck it is. We do a lot of thinking about that and right place and right time and this guy's lucky and he's lucky to be here and all that. It's really you. You will do, in the positive and in the negative, you will undo you or you will do you. That's
well put.
Yeah. Thank you very much. You want to do you in 2014? How about you do stamps.com? That should be your New Year's resolution. That should just forget about the resolution. That should just be standard fare for 2014. You want to maximize? It's 2014. What do people think about the post office for? Let's not waste time. Let's not waste money. It's 2014. We got a special offer. A no-risk trial. $110 bonus offer. It includes a digital scale, $55 free postage. Only if you enter, Adam. Go to stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click on the microphone, top of the homepage, type in Adam, stamps.com, promo code Adam. Let's not go another year without using stamps.com. All right, let's see.
Line four is interesting.
Line four, line three. Is a question for Brian on line three? Line four, Declan?
Hey, Adam. Big fan. Saw you out in Irvine with the amazing Jonathan.
Ah.
Months ago, loved it. Have all your books.
Thank you so much.
Question is, Tinder, I don't know if you're familiar, but basically online dating. What would a young Adam have done, or God forbid it ever happened, would do with online dating?
I would be a kid in a candy store or a bull in the china shop or a kid that had been put up a bull's ass and then thrown into a candy store that sold china. Either way, I would be a happy dude because as a dude, the hardest part is the walking up. How you doing? Right. They cross the bar. I didn't have any game. I would say things to women like, you know, at a bar, you know, like, hey, do you mind if I sit down? And a chick said, why? I remember. It just always stuck with me. Like, why? I don't really have an answer to why, but there's a lot of that that went down, and I feel that with the online, especially if you're a guy who would probably win someone over with words, but you may not have a chance to get those words out because of replies like why. I thought I'd say, do you mind if I sit down? She'd say, you know, it's a free country, and then I could win her over with my words. It's a little difficult to win someone over with their words when they're asking why, when you're when you've queried about sitting down next to them at a bar. But be that as it may, I feel like with the online stuff, you could write yourself some funny little blogs and stuff. I don't know what boyfriend it is, but I think I was talking to Sarah Silverman about this, and this is we're doing voiceover for Family Guy or something, and we're just chatting, and I don't know if it was 2 years ago or something, but she said, I said, like, who are you dating or what's going on or whatever, and she's like, oh, I'm dating this guy, and I think he wrote for the Family Guy. Anyway, he had a very funny – he did very funny tweets. And she's got a great sense of humor, so she picked up on his funny tweets, and the next thing you know, they're seeing each other. Mm-hmm. And that would have worked nicely for me. I would have had to get someone to type. Yeah. But the point is,
you're Cyrano de Bergerac.
That's right. I could have used that versus the guys that were good in the room. You know what I'm saying?
Plus, with online dating, I imagine, Allison, do you ever do online dating?
I sure did.
It must be, it seems like, you tell me if it's right or wrong, it must be easy to put your best foot forward because you can select your, as opposed to walking up to someone at a bar or whatever, because you can select a good, a flattering picture, mm-hmm. write a clever, whatever, headline quip or whatever, you know, like,
oh, yes.
Present yourself better than, I guess, in the you know,
oh,
random
I mean, Allison,
day.
If someone is really ironic and funny.
Oh,
and witty in their little description.
Yeah, I love that.
In, right?
And then you find out that who was telling me that they had this happened for them recently. Oftentimes, oh, I know who it was. It was someone that we all know. His female coworkers wrote his profile for him.
Oh, Mike August.
That's right.
Roses are red, violets are blue. It's rare to find a foxy Jew.
Yeah. That's right. He,
yeah, he met his wife online and his female coworkers. Was it Molly McInerney?
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
Yes.
So Jimmy Kimmel's wife wrote, Mike August's online profile, but it worked. It worked for them though.
Smart.
Yeah. It makes perfect sense. Yeah.
I just got to introduce one thing. I know you're a fan of the show Catfish. Mm-hmm. And that is kind of a concern. You spend a few weeks talking to someone, and it's not the person you were talking to. I know you joke about the, I love her, oh, she's 300 pounds. I'm getting out of here.
Well, it's guys in a nutshell. It's the first part, the first 40 minutes of Catfish is, you know, we fostered a relationship. It's so strong. I feel like we're soulmates now. He feels my pain. She feels my pain. You know, we live through our words. It's not about the physicality. It's about the soulmate part. And then the person comes waddling out of their trailer home at 300 pounds. And I go, fuck this shit. And they're out immediately because the person
they were lied to and they can't trust now.
Right. I would love. Here's what I'd love to see the batting average on. Guys think they're talking to, let's say, a foxy blonde, and they're not. They're talking to a chick with bad skin and bad hygiene, but they've been talking for a year and they're soulmates. But then as soon as she comes waddling out with the big back arms out of her double wide, he's like, I'm out of here. And then he's been betrayed. What if it was a new super hot chick who was just a different chick? I think they'd be in immediately. Like, meaning, if you just took, you took Paris Hilton and her sister Janine.
Okay.
Whatever her sister's name is. Her sister, they're both attractive.
Nikki.
All right. They're both, one's blonde, one's brunette. Right. But they're both. If you thought you were talking to Nikki, but Paris came out or thought you were talking to Paris and Nikki, I think the first move for the guy would be like, okay.
Of course.
I guess you could blow me. Like, isn't that where we'd be?
Of course.
Brian Koppelman is on the line, by the way. He's been on the show multiple times. You calling from New York, Brian?
I am, Adam. How's it going, guys?
Good to speak to you. What are you working on now?
working on writing a movie, the next thing to direct. We're adapting. Did you see that movie Limitless?
No, I heard about it. And I heard it was really cool, and I never saw it.
It's a good movie. The guy who wrote the book that was based on wrote a new book, and Dave and I are adapting that to direct it, hopefully next year. So I'm in the middle of that. I worked through the whole vacation, and I thought of you, Adam. First of all, Happy New Year. So glad you guys are back. But I thought of you because I was trying to buy a car during this time period because, you know, end of December, people, they're putting all these sales on. You can get a deal, and I am horrible at it, and I just think the world – I need, like, the ace guide to how to not get crushed by car dealers. Mm. There's all stuff online, but how do you go about doing it?
It's dealing days, yeah. All right, there's a couple of things. I always tell people, forget about the blue book and all that kind of stuff. You want to find out what a used car is worth, just go online. And buying something new is a little nutty these days because everything is great. Nothing needs servicing anymore. Everything's good for 100,000 miles. Everything's got synthetic fluids and oils and everything else in it. And I would just buy something that was 2 years old, had limited miles, single owner, and you don't get that 30, 40% drop off. I mean, it's almost like this. We'll just use BMW as an example. Let's just say you had $45,000 to spend on an automobile. Well, you could get a nice 3 Series BMW, or you could get a 7 Series that was 3 years old. You know, you could step it up in class quite a bit. If you're willing to drive a car that had, you know, 19,000 miles on it or 14 or 21,000 miles on it, which is nothing to a new car, especially if it's the single owner who took it to the service, you know, didn't bring it to the crazy Armenian garage, but took it to the dealership to be serviced all the time and blah, blah, blah. So to me, and all cars are good now, everything works.
Right.
So you find the car you want the most, go back 2 years, 2.5 years, and buy the 2011 version of that car. Now, when cars do the big body change every 3 or 4 years, that'll also make it cheaper. And sometimes you might like the old body style even more. So I don't know what you're looking at, Brian.
Yeah, well, yeah, and that, you know, like one of those cars, like a BMW 5 Series or Mercedes 350 or something like that. And you go in and you think to yourself, this dealer's, I'm going to get crushed. I love your idea of the two-year-old car under 20K miles.
That's
a really good idea.
You will, well, because someone will scrub off, you know, if that 7 Series was $71,000 3 years ago, someone will have scrubbed off $25,000 off the price of that car in the last 3 years, and that car will still be new. It's, by the way, it's new to you, like a new girlfriend. You know what I mean? I mean,
don't think about who fucked that car.
It's not like you're fucking awesome. Newborns, unless
That's
you're really
awesome.
Weird or, you know. You know
and
what I'm saying.
Really, really weird.
Yeah.
No, I do. And how do you, and then when you're negotiating this kind of thing, when you're in there now negotiating with the guy, how do you know if you're getting crushed by him or not?
I am,
if he keeps calling over his coworkers.
I'm not good at that kind of stuff. I suggest you find someone.
I'm horrible at it. That's what I'm saying. I walk in and I say to myself, I watch Glengarry Glen Ross 3 times, and I say to myself, I'm going to beat this guy. And then I end up just, you know, paying whatever the guy
says. But here's the bottom line. You, because of the internet, there are no more these barn finds anymore or vice versa, meaning you can find, especially if you're talking about a popular car, 30 examples of your car of that year, of the same mileage range, of the same options for this price. And then when you're talking to the guy, whoever the guy is, whether it's the guy on eBay or the guy at the dealership, and he goes, well, it's going to be $55,000. You go, here's 3 of them, and they average $42,000.
When I was buying my car, I ended up going through a broker, but before that, when I was looking at the dealers, I would just do it online, and I would say, you know, to one dealership, well, you know, this other dealership offered the car to me at this price, and it was true, and then they would instantly come, not instantly, but they would come down. Like, there was
and
a lot
of... You were really able to do it, Allison? You had the balls to do it?
Yes, well, that was just the balls
yeah,
to do it.
I did. I set them on my shoulders. Yeah. That was just all online that I was doing that.
Yep, Brian, my wife did the exact same thing with her last car. The exact same thing. Because there's probably a handful of the dealership of any one car within 30 miles of here. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So just email the ones. They have it right on their site. Just, you know, send email to dealer.
Yeah, and it's like, I think through Edmunds.
Yeah, I'm looking for this car with this specs. What's your best price? And then start getting the offers in. And you're like, well, this guy offered me this. So can you beat that? And they can beat it. Trust me. And it's all over email. It's not like you have to spend a lot of time haggling.
Right, I'm motivated. I just realized even in this conversation what happened is that Like I've had an agent for such a long time doing every bit of negotiating for me that I've just lost the ability to do it.
I can. You're in New York. James Baby Doll Dixon can get over there.
There you go.
Light and sweet, baby.
Yeah. Or actually use a car broker. I use this I used Cartelligent, and they're like an agent for your car. They'll just do it for you.
Yeah.
All right.
They'll yell. Koppelman doesn't roll over in bed for 7 series for more than $60K.
That's awesome.
You've insulted
good.
Him.
That's what they'll say.
Thanks, Brian.
All right, guys. Thank you. Appreciate
Love
it.
You.
Have a good night.
Bye. My greatest Baby Doll Dixon story was when he said to me, I said, well, what was the offer? What offer did Disney make or whatever make? Baby, it was so insulting, I told him I wasn't going to tell you. I said, all right. Good answer, by the way, to them. Yeah. Like that answer, like I'm not going. He would say, I won't take that offer to my client. It's too insulting. And I said, but now you can tell me. Oh no, I can't. I said, why not? It's too insulting. I said, all right, but it's me, and I'm going to just assume the worst.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, nah, too insulting. Won't tell you. I love that guy.
You just assumed they wanted you to pay them for whatever.
Probably what it was. Yeah. All right, let's. We got a couple of phone calls here. We got some news to go. Ah, LifeLock, baby. Identity thieves. They're shrewd. They're all over the place. They're coming for you, and they're coming for your cash. They're coming for your retirement money. They're coming for everything. I know Allison's been hearing some stories about these guys.
Yes, listen to this story.
Hmm.
A 95-year-old Illinois woman discovered her identity was stolen when she received a letter refusing to extend the limit on a lingerie store credit card.
Slow down. You're turning me on. Yeah. That's right. You can't fight it alone. You got to use LifeLock. They're the ultimate. LifeLock Ultimate. They're comprehensive. They will protect you. And it's just one of those, I don't know, it's one of those modern day cost of doing business kinds of things. You know, you have all the conveniences, the credit cards, ATMs, and all the stuff that makes it easy. You know, I don't have the cash for whatever. You can swipe your credit card at a parking meter now, whatever. There's a bunch of conveniences.
Yep.
This is one of those. Along with that convenience, now comes LifeLock. Dawson?
LifeLock services can't protect you or your bank accounts if you're not a member. Visit LifeLock.com and enter promo code Adam, or call and use promo code Adam for a special 10% discount. That's promo code Adam to get a special 10% discount. Call 800-496-5030, 800-496-5030, 800-496-5030. Network does not cover all transactions, and scope may vary.
All right. Someone's got a question for Brian about picking the drops, but you can go to Top Drop, right?
Just go to Twitter and, use the hashtag Top Drop. We want to hear yours, and I'll use the best one every day for a little shout-out.
All right. Also, and I'm not sure if that means how do you pull them, or how do you decide on them, or how do you get them, John?
I'll answer his question quickly.
Yeah. I guess I'll keep in my tradition of being a dick on this show and ask Brian. You use your drops a lot, and some of them you use them more and more.
Mm-hmm.
How do you know when to retire a drop, and how come you're not, like, with the internet out there, you can get
You shut your mouth
long.
When you're talking to me.
I'm sorry, John, you were saying? Really interesting
yeah,
something?
Yeah, I was wondering how you go about picking them, because I hear different ones all the time.
This is amazing.
I'll never hear them again. And some of them are really funny, and I was just wondering what your process is, because I went to Top Drop and suggested one, and somebody else suggested it too, and it never got picked. And I just kind of wonder what your process is.
Oh, just literally for picking the Top Drop, or for picking drops that I use.
Whatever.
Well, to answer what I think is his real question is, if I hear something funny or something that makes me laugh out of context, or I think, oh, that would make something embarrassing for somebody, that always becomes a drop, or at least the drop for the end of that show. And if it sticks, you know, like at the Ace Awards, we heard the best drops of the year. If it sticks, then it's a drop that, makes its way into the regular
boom
routine.
I Speaking of sounds.
It's like your thing. Sorry to interrupt. It's like your thing with, you know, life is a gin rummy hand. You know,
that's
just
right.
To pick the best ones. And there are probably a lot from the old days I don't use, and there are a lot of new ones.
So funny, last night I had dinner. And
do tell.
It's hilarious already.
I had dinner with Vince Vaughn and his wife and my wife.
At your place or theirs?
Walked to a restaurant. And the whole time, you know, when you're bringing someone to a restaurant, you're talking up. It's like somehow you discovered this place, even though it was there and it will be there and they don't need you and all that kind of stuff. But you get to be the person that goes, oh, yeah. Tried the portobello mushroom with the crab in it as the appetizer. Unbelievable. I was talking about all day, talking about on the walk there. Got to the place. They did the, would you like appetizers? I said, oh, yes, we would. We will take, Lynette and I had been talking about it since we ate there the week before. We will take the portobello mushroom with the crab sort of cake on the thing and the thing. And the guy was like, yeah, no, we don't. That was last week. And I said, yeah, but it was so good. And he said, yeah, I know, but now we have new ones. And by the way, the new ones were like the butternut squash soup, you know, and stuff like that that didn't sound very good. And I said, yeah, that was a good one. He said, yeah, we rotate them. And I said, less than 24 hours ago, you need to treat your appetizers like a gin rummy hand. When you get the good one and you get all the great feedback on it and everyone's telling you how delicious it is,
yeah, keep that.
Feel free to keep that one. And literally ordered a nut soup. I've laughed about it, but L.A. is the only city where they tell you what's not in it. It was like a hazelnut
soup.
First
Sounds
off,
good.
We want several thousand years of making soup without knowing that you could make soup out of anything. Hmm. Pretty. I mean, what I'm saying is it like it had to be for barley or clams or
stock,
chowder or something in it. Now I fucking just I talk to people and
vegan.
Like. Yeah, what is this soup? I have contact lens. What? Yeah, just one and some Bausch and Lomb. We don't use any. And I like what they. Then they go. They give you the laundry list of what's not in it, which I don't like. Oh, there's no cream. There's no dairy. There's
Gluten-free.
No right. Because all I can go is okay. There's no. It's like the people go. These muffins, we don't use any sugar. We don't use any refined anything. We don't use any flour. We don't and then they end it with, you can't tell. And I'm already like, oh, believe me, I'm dry heaving already. I know. It was a soup that was literally it's creamy without having cream in it. It was made from a nut. I don't.
It sounds like you're juicing at night, but hot juicing.
Was it good? I did. No, it was not. It tasted like it was supposed to. If you made a soup that was just basically based on a hazelnut, how good would it taste? You know what I mean? I want some fucking chunks of. I don't. Why is it so passe to go, it's clam chowder or it's beef barley, but it's the fucking best? You know what I mean?
Why does it
have to be made from lettuce soup, you know, celery soup. Like, why are we trying to use a shoelace and some celery and see if we can make soup out of it? And, yeah, for a soup that was fashioned from something that shouldn't be soup, hey, this is Duvetyne soup. Like, yeah, it was pretty passable for something that should have never been soup. But we're not trapped on an island where we don't have soup ingredients.
Right. It's not a reality
show. We have cows and crabs and potatoes and corn and
salt,
all the
gluten,
all
sugar.
The good stuff, those stuff that makes soup yummy. So let's use those. Why are we hobbling ourselves? Why are we putting ourselves at this soup disadvantage?
So Vince Vaughn says to you, can we eat? Are you done with the soup?
So I said, oh, no, I'd been talking up the mushroom with the crab thing on it, the portobello mushroom with the crab thing on it. Oh, yeah, we don't have that one. So we got right past that. All right, but I did use the gin rummy hand.
That's
as
how I
well.
Look at the drops, to try and mix in ones that are they stick, you know what I mean? Like, you know,
yes.
Boom, for example.
Boom.
That's obviously stuck and people like it, so it's all part of the rotation now.
And speaking of sound, just a weird audible thing, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I was listening to Andrew Luck being interviewed after the win.
That's always fun.
And I started thinking about my buddy Pete Berg, the director.
Okay.
Because he's coming out with The One or Left Behind or whatever, the Mark Wahlberg thing.
Oh, well, Lone Survivor.
Yeah, all that good stuff. And he's a crazy guy, nice guy, know him pretty well. Does some really crazy stuff and really good stuff, does some really bad stuff, but he's just a talented director. And when I was hearing Andrew Luck speak, I started hearing Pete Berg.
Oh, the voice doubles?
Yeah, and I thought, I don't know if anyone else has really thought of this, but I thought, you know what, Gary, I just told Gary, pull me some audio of Andrew Luck, quarterback, speaking, Pete Berg, director. Pete's done a lot of big movies, acted in a lot of big movies,
yes,
too.
Yes, he has been an actor, too.
We'll take a quick break. We'll let you hear it right after this.
Hi, I'm Larry Miller, but in a way, aren't we all? And this week, on This Week with Larry Miller, I tell you about the greatest Christmas gift I ever got anyone. It was for Uncle Arnie. Was it a music box or was it coffee? You can find out by going to LarryMillerPodcast.com. We'll see you here.
Yeah. Ah, the State of the Union show. Thank you guys so much for supporting and telling a friend and doing the Amazon click through and all that good stuff. All right. We got news. We got us. Oh, by the way, CineFamily. I don't even know if that's how you say it. Los Angeles,
it is.
Friday. I'm going to be doing this thing with Ileana Douglas, who she co-hosts this sort of reboot show. She takes movies that were sort of forgotten or passed over and then hosts a night where she re-shows them in a movie theater. And she asked me to show The Hammer, and I said, for sure, I'll be there with bells on. And that is this Friday at 7:30, and Ileana will be there, I'll be there. I think Hench will be there, and some other folks will be there. And if you want to come out and say hi, I think the tickets are like $12, so it's pretty cheap. Give a little talk after the show and enjoy.
See a classic movie.
We have, thank you, we have Andrew Luck and Pete Berg. I haven't listened to this. I just heard Luck talking and reminded me of Berg, so we'll see how good my ear was. First, listen to the first one.
It's different not being a rookie. It's nice not having to sing songs in front of the team and carry Robert Mathis's pads everywhere.
What is the best song?
All right, I'm not going to say who that was. Okay. Now we'll hear Pete Berg.
You know, one of the great, I think, you know, lessons to me of this business and the kind of absurdity or the randomness, and people talk about luck as being an element of getting anything made, or you can try so hard and do everything right, and then
all right, now we
got to
mash them up. We
got to
go back and forth a little here. What is that speech pattern where you swallow it?
Much different. Not being a rookie, it's nice not having to sing songs in front of the team and carry Robert Mathis's pad.
You're speaking from your
throat.
And that's what actually ends up being a definitive moment, and for in the film getting made, and for.
There's something, it's the same, I mean, it's the levels are different, but it's the same tone, but it's a technique of talking, speaking.
You're speaking from, like, the back of your tongue, top of your throat kind of thing, you know what I mean? Some people have nasally voices, some people have throat voices, you know what I mean? They're talking from the back of their throat.
I should hang out with Luck or Berg so we could have the perfect tone, like, we both
yes.
Do.
Wait, isn't that a little bit what Dr. Bruce does?
Yeah. I make that sound because Bruce, Bruce came over to my house today with his kids, and it was one of these things where he stopped by on his way to Sacramento with his kids. Fine, I like Bruce well enough, but yeah, I like my time alone as well. But it was one of these things where my wife said, Bruce and the kids are going to come by at 2:00. We're going to all jump in the car and head down to Old Town Pasadena and do our thing. And I said, fine, I'm going to watch the game and then go to work. And Bruce, sure enough, showed up at 2:00, but at 4:30, everyone was still spread out all over the sofa. And I said, what happened to the pilgrimage plan? And then I had to do the uncomfortable rousting. You know what I mean? Like, oh, what's going on with that Pasadena?
Well,
Yeah, so Dr. Spaz did come over today.
There's an actor named Joel David Moore. I don't know if Gary's able to find a clip or not, but he is an actor you would recognize for sure from Dodgeball and from Avatar. He's one of the other guys in Avatar, and he not only looks like Andrew Luck, he speaks just like him with the tongue in his throat. Same neck beard. It's very strange. I don't know if you found a clip or not, Gary, but
hey, Gary,
I'll
find.
First of all, I love the show. This is great, and you had a lot of friends on, so I feel in good company. Love the glasses.
Thank you very much.
I couldn't pull them off. No. It's just you got the right build for it.
What about?
Is that him?
No, that's not him. Sorry, that's the second shot. They'll find him, but you'll recognize. He was an Avatar. He was in Dodgeball. He's a recognizable character actor.
Now be prepared when Gary finds him. He's going to find a clip from Sherlock Holmes where he's doing a Cockney accent. All right.
I think he nailed it. He found the right clip.
All right. Was that the guy? How do you find the guy so fast?
There he is. A little bit of Andrew Luck. Skinny Andrew Luck with the neck beard and everything.
There's three sound-alikes.
What's with the neck beard? And I know we're in a day of crazy facial hair.
Ask Gary. He is sporting one.
No.
A little bit.
He's not.
He's kind of even. You know what I mean?
Yeah. This is not. I'm looking at three bearded or semi-bearded gentlemen in the next room, and none of them have the weird neck beard.
Uh-oh,
oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I. Let me ask you this. Are we in a complete facial hair free-for-all in terms of there were periods when a guy wore a mustache and it was a certain kind of mustache and that was it, and maybe most men did. Sort of like, here's how you dress. You put a derby on, you put a vest on, you have a pocket watch.
Right,
you know.
It's going to be head hair, it's going to be a powdered wig.
Right, and then they went to a beard, but if there was a beard, it was a certain kind of beard.
Right.
It was this beard.
Decorative.
And it was just a beard. It was this kind of beard or it was this kind of mustache. And maybe even clean shaven wasn't even an option. But whatever it is, guys all got together at the meeting where we talk about black people, and we all agreed on the same facial hair at the meeting. Because, you know, for me, it's like, I'm busy. I got to double down. I don't have a separate
right,
meeting.
Yeah.
And we all just agreed, and that was that.
Is it interspersed, or do you have your black people meeting and then your facial hair meeting in the same room?
They've asked me to stop talking about the meeting.
Oh.
So I've probably said
secret
too much
meeting
already.
Or meetings.
But the point is, we agreed on many things, and one of them was facial hair. Mm-hmm. Now, they're the guys with the super pin, Sharpie pinstripe, which I don't get, but the one that looks like the guy just took a Sharpie of hair, drew it down the guy's jawline, and went over there.
I dated a guy who had that whole, is that a zigzag? What is on your face? And one of the many signs that was not the right person for me.
There's the neck hair. There's the mustache. There's the young guy rocking the mustache that has like the wax in it, the old timey thing, you know, the barbershop quartet kind of thing. There's the young guy with the big mountain man beard. There's the tight Don Johnson-y kind of. There's
the
three-day
old. There's the guy who has the beard that like forks into two.
Yeah. There's the guy who's got the there's a Smash Mouth beard.
Yeah, the thin. He had the
thin. Yeah, that's right. He did. And then there's the biker one that's sort of twisted up at the end and braided. But there have never been more beard/facial hair options. I mean, we're this close to just half a mustache, just right side.
It's like the facial equivalent of people marrying animals.
Wow.
It's a real free-for-all. Anything goes these days.
Anything goes. Anything goes.
It does feel like between the era of the founding fathers, when there was the crazy facial hair, the twirly mustaches, and the sideburns, and the chops, and then this and that, and now where there's that again, there was a couple hundred years of facial hair deadness, and now it's back.
Speaking of facial hair,
yeah, but even if it was dead, like all the Mad Men mm-hmm. era, all right, everyone was shaven,
mm-hmm.
but if a guy did have a mustache, he got to choose between three mustaches, like the old barbershop, where they'd actually show you your haircut mm-hmm. before you
like
got
the number two.
Yeah, that's about it. Now everyone's just going, and I blame razor technology.
Mm.
We can now create whatever we want, treating our face like the world's most retarded canvas.
You hear that, Gillette?
Mm-hmm. Have you guys ever had stupid facial hair?
I have the black man beard. My beard grows curly and coarse, and it hurts. And when I grow a beard, which is once every 9 years just for the fuck of it, It's so scratchy and so shitty and so itchy that it drives me insane. I feel like all I want to do is take hot water and splash it on my face. You know that feeling? Yeah. So I'm no good with it.
I had a full beard for about 6 months in college. Like, it was just a beard. It was a pain in the ass, so I got rid of it.
Yeah. It's itchy and it's uncomfortable for me. And then, yeah, you do have to kind of, you end up putting more time into it than you do the, you know.
To maintain it.
Shave three times a week. I don't know what you shave. I shave two, three times. If I'm filming something, I'll shave every day.
Depending on how much I need to shave, but I could shave every, if I had an office job, every day.
Let's cue up a little news, and I will tell you about one of our fine sponsors from 2013. Now, opening in 2014, Hulu Plus, baby. Oh, man. You got to have your entertainment. How about thousands of hit TV shows, movies, brought right to your own living room? Smartphone or tablet, only $7.99 a month. Current TV shows, SNL, Jimmy Kimmel. Shows like Shark Tank. Love me some Shark Tank. Scandal. All the big ones. And original programming as well. A lot of the Community. Doctor Who?
Who?
Exclusive Hulu originals like The Wrong Mans and Behind the Mask. And they have a doc series out there about the world of sports mascots. So original stuff, the old time stuff, the archival stuff, the new stuff. They got it all. And they got a deal. Special offer for my listeners. You can try Hulu Plus free. That's right. 2 weeks for free. HuluPlus.com/Adam. Try it out. 2 weeks free. Extended free trial. So HuluPlus.com/Adam. HuluPlus.com/Adam. Try it out for free. Allison Rosen, let's do our first news of 2014.
The news with Allison Rosen.
She'll read some news from her iPad. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. It's Allison, Allison. And when it's time to wrap it up, she'll sign it off with Zip It Cunt. It's Allison, Allison.
You may have seen on the news, Adam, that it is really, really, really fucking cold out there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, historically cold.
Yeah.
It hasn't been this cold in decades. And the fridge, it's a polar vortex, which is counterclockwise rotating pool of cold, dense air, which is sweeping through the Midwest and the South and also into New England.
Are we doing with weather what we're doing with facial hair? Meaning we have the technology now to show you all these cool Doppler things and everything's like blowing in. Because I feel like it's always been cold this time of year in the Midwest. And it's some seasons are warmer than others, but there's horrible storms of, you know, 1891 and stuff like that.
They're saying that if you're under 40, this is the first time you've ever experienced this kind of cold. Like, it hasn't been this cold in D.C., for example, in 20 years, in Milwaukee in 18 years, in Missouri in 15 years. Like, it's – yes, they have in certain places had it. It has been this cold before, but not in a really long time. Predictions are it's going to be 25 below in Fargo. It's going to be 31 below in International Falls, Minnesota. 15 below in Indianapolis and Chicago. And with wind chill, it's it may be 56 or 70 below zero.
Wow.
So that's really cold.
Yeah.
I want some of that to come here, a little bit.
I heard the there was an icebreaker that was like iced in. It was on an expedition. It was on a global
icebreaker,
warming.
Icebreaker, boats?
Yeah.
Ships, I should say?
Mm-hmm. Mm. Or when the Ace Man lays it out, may I have a seat, ladies? Why? Yeah, that's
the
my icebreaker.
Icebreaker.
Yeah, it's it is one of those things where I don't know. Again, it's why I've always said it's why Southern California is such a piece of shit, because we just fall back on it was 77 degrees today and no one had to shovel their car out of anything. And everything sort of quietly reflects that. I know it.
That's how soft we're getting because we don't have to deal with the weather?
No, it's why everything – it's my theory about why everything in California is so bad. It's again, it's my hot blonde theory.
Oh,
it's
yes.
Why my hot, it's why hot blondes don't know a lot about nautical disasters and and aerodynamics and things like that. They don't
most hot blondes.
They don't tell really funny stories and things like that. They don't have to. What do they have to do?
Just look cute.
Just really just, you know what I mean? Like, most hot blondes don't have incredible personalities. And there's a reason. They don't, you know, fat chicks have to dance and hot blondes don't have to.
That's why I'm thrown by Julie Bowen from Modern Family. What's going on there? She's funny and she's a hot blonde.
She has to be Canadian or she had to have grown up on a farm or there has to be some story.
Something's up.
There because she is a delight. And yes. Or we could find some picture of her in high school where she didn't look nearly as good as she looks now. Or sometimes they come into their own thing, but the die's been cast, so to speak, emotionally. Whatever it is. But the fact that you go down and see the Rose Parade, and we went down and looked at the floats and stuff before they sent them out this year. And I'll tell you that story tomorrow because it's a good one. But, you know, it's 75 degrees and the sun is shining and those parade floats are going. It just means taxes can be higher, services can be lower, schools can be not. Everything can be not as good as Fargo. You got to work it if you're Fargo. Right, I've known quietly this has always been our attitude. It always rains. Well, where are you going? Look at it. Look at it outside. It's beautiful. Now pay your taxes and go to your shitty school and don't worry about the graffiti. Everywhere.
Apparently it's colder in Atlanta, Georgia than Anchorage, Alaska right now or going to be.
Wow. Hot Atlanta's going to have to be renamed.
Only very tangentially related because we're talking about hot gals. Mm-hmm. I walked out of the studio through that studio door and then back in during our break. And both times I banged my shoulder on the wall. What is going on? I haven't gained weight, and I'm not drunk.
Mm. You lost the muscle memory.
I think you're right.
Just a little bit. It's a weird thing, but it's like if
you're so right.
Stop driving your car. The weird, you know the one of the weirder things is, we have muscle memory for a reason. We have too much shit to think about, but.
But usually not going through a particular doorway doesn't mean that you're going to over or undershoot it the next time.
Well, you're definitely either dumb or gain weight. But I'm saying there's also
a
component.
Thank you for giving me this other option to think about that.
There's also a component called muscle memory. And like when I would do the Toyota Grand Prix and we'd do the car training, we'd go out to Willow Springs and we'd drive the race cars for whole day.
Sorry, giant spider.
Ooh. I would.
How about that?
There's a giant spider dropping down behind me. It's a daddy log. Grab a tissue or something, would you? My whole thing is kill them and throw them out. You know,
it's like larger. It's larger than a ping pong ball. It's a small tennis ball.
And my whole thing is I used to just capture them and throw them outside. But then I realized, first off, they're inside for a reason. They're not confused. It's carpeting. It's there's food around. This thing could probably eat Moxiloxa if he had to, or Maxipata.
Well, he may have. Where is he? Has anyone seen him?
Either way, we should start
push that thing up.
Killing them.
Thanks,
because
Nick Beard.
All we do is take them, throw them outside, they fuck, they get another spider pregnant, and then they just move back in again. And they have their kids over here.
Like, yeah, it's kinder to them, yeah.
Use our hospitals, man. Either way.
You know what? And
muscle
by,
memory.
By throwing these ones back out there so they can fuck and their spider babies can come back, mm-hmm. you're encouraging that part of the spider that wants to go inside.
Yes.
You know, survival of the fittest means the ones that are breeding and allowed to live are the mm-hmm. ones that don't come inside.
I'm creating new generations of indoor spiders, domesticated spiders. But I would drive around this track for 8 hours in one of these cars that had a stick shift. And then when I was done, I would get into my car, which is an automatic, to drive home. And my left foot would go for the clutch and my right hand would start grabbing for a gear shift that did not exist. I just done it so many times that when I grabbed that steering wheel, my hand started moving and my foot started moving.
Imagine if you were bisexual.
Oh my God. Wow. That'd be tough. Somebody said, I heard somebody just speaking today that said, sort of apropos of this or nothing, you should take your mouse, it's your computer, and you should switch hands with it. Do it with your left hand, do it with your right hand, and just make yourself ambidextrous. Like, turn on that side of your brain or whatever it is. But the door banging, I'm going to go with muscle memory. on that. We've been on break for a couple weeks. I know you've been in here a few times, but you basically have not. We're not been on.
I haven't
the routine.
Done my mindless walk to the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
You may have heard over the break some reports that it turned out, although it turns out that wasn't true. But there was a rumor that Jenny McCarthy's son did not have autism. Did you get those
tweets?
A
lot of tweets, yes.
Okay. Well, now the story is that she's furious over rumors circulating that her son doesn't have autism. This is what she said. Stories circulating online claiming that I said my son Evan may not have autism after all are blatantly inaccurate and completely ridiculous. Evan was diagnosed with autism by the Autism Evaluation Clinic at the UCLA Neuropsychiatric Hospital and was confirmed by the state of California. The implication that I have changed my position that my child was not initially diagnosed with autism is both irresponsible and inaccurate.
Right.
She went on to say, continued misrepresentations such as these only serve to open wounds of the many families who are courageously dealing with this disorder. Please know that I am taking every legal measure necessary to set this straight. So,
why is it open a wound if your kid is autistic? Because someone brought up autism on the internet?
It's a very delicate wound.
You're living with an autistic 9-year-old. They don't think you're, I forgot all about the kid who just dumped the Ovaltine on his head. I had no idea. Oh, but then I saw this tweet, this vicious tweet.
And it opened the wound.
It opened the wound.
That had just barely scabbed over.
Oh, she's such a horrible person. First, look, people get autism. You are putting other people in jeopardy by telling them not to be vaccinated and doing a sort of witch doctor bullshit where you've decided that because, look, Brian got a brain tumor.
What?
Brian did not live too close to the power station. Brian did not sit too close to the TV set.
He just masturbated too much.
Obviously, God just hates Brian.
I did love Coke Zero.
It is not you standing too close to the microwave. It's not. It's there's a percentage of people that get a certain thing. That's what we are. It works. That's how nature works.
It sucks because there are a number of things that certain activities will cause this certain thing, but then it causes a hysteria where it's like, oh, there must be something for everything. Like, no, there's not something for everything.
It's a narcissism when you've decided that this has caused my child or my spouse or my whatever neighbor to get this. It's a form of narcissism. It's the ultimate narcissism because it's a form of control. Like, I cannot the most vulnerable will ever feel is out of control. Like, when you go, I mean, it's as old as time. Some, you know, kid gets, somebody, you know, becomes ill and is dying and you go, oh, the demons have now, and you know, have taken
it's
over
that
the
primitive
soul. Yes.
Spirit part of our brain.
Right. Shit happens. A certain amount of kids have autism. That's it. You'd like to chalk it up to your sort of pseudoscience blonde bullshit. It's not true. And you can potentially do more harm because of a greater number of kids may die of whooping cough or something because of this versus the ones that may or may not get autism from the vaccination, which is nothing to support that. But we do this all the time. And nobody ever really – we hear the first report about it coming out, but no one ever really follows up. This is bullshit. And I am bothered by her because I do believe – well, first off, I saw her movie Dirty Love, I think it was. And I went, you know, this is one of those written, directed by, that's just a piece of shit. It just shows how empty and devoid she is of talent. But she's also one of those, I'm a good-looking blonde, but I'm going to tell a fart joke and win everyone over.
So down to earth.
Mm-hmm. Right.
She's one of us.
So she gets to be funny, but she's not really funny. She's just funny for a good-looking blonde. See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. I think the CDC called her a menace to public health.
Well, if you can convince enough people, I mean, you know, what if there was just a campaign where a celebrity was trying to convince people to start smoking? People would be outraged, right? Like, oh, hey, young people, it's cool. Remember James Dean? He smokes. A good thing he did. He was cleaned out by Buick when he was 23. Now, What if he had to white knuckle it and quit earlier that year? You know, what if somebody just went on a pro smoking campaign as a celebrity, encouraging young folks to smoke? That person would be a fucking pariah because you go, you're endangering the lives of young people. Well, if you go on an anti-vaccination campaign, you're endangering the lives of young people. And yes, you are a pariah.
You know what bothers me on a much smaller scale, but still, the anti-pasteurization campaign, all the raw milk and all that stuff. I don't know what the worst thing you can catch from raw milk is. Maybe it's just you're going to get diarrhea, but there's a reason that that shit's pasteurized. Actually, because there's shit in that shit, and that's what's pasteurized.
Look, if it's the fluoride in the water, the pasteurization of the milk, or whatever the fuck it is, just let the people with the degrees figure it out and stop thinking that they're coming for you and your child. Just leave it the fuck alone and move on. All right. Anyway, so her kid does have that.
Mm-hmm. Lots of stories about what's going on in Colorado because Wednesday, January 1st, was the first day that pot was legally sold in the state. So there were huge lines and all sorts of puns, like they're calling it the Green Rush. Mm-hmm. There was this one mom and pop pot shop that was profiled in a story, and they hit record sales of $10,000 within the first few hours of being open.
Yeah.
Well, of course, it's a record. It's the first few hours of being open.
And yeah. Also...
They had been medical marijuana dispensary before that.
People love weed, man.
Yeah, I mean, they were waiting in really long lines, really cold weather. I think for a lot of people, it was this chance to be part of this historic thing. Yes, they're calling it a green rush. These shops have bud tenders, like bartenders.
People like to be altered. I get it. This is going to be a huge cash crop for the government because they're going to get a ton in tax revenue. And Mike August does not smoke weed, but has been saying California should do this for years, just saying the money we could generate. Although, even though he tells me how much money California could generate through the legal sales of marijuana, because we would be exporting this shit to China in hay bales, I still know that our school system would come in 47. Why is that? There'd be a pothole in every freeway, and the 405 would be backed up as far as the eye could see. Why is it that this amazing influx of cash would somehow just lead to nothing? I don't know why. Do you guys know what I'm saying?
Yes.
We're always doing this thing where it's like, oh, we're out of money, or the schools can't afford, or we can't fix the roads, right? And then we have the dot-com boom or the tech bubble.
Yeah, Silicon Valley.
And that all is it. And then all of a sudden we're flush with cash, but the school system still sucks and the pothole's still there. Why don't we fill the pothole with the failing student? How come it ever makes a difference? Where's our fucking monorail? Where's our fucking bullet train? Like, where is
it's
it? Like, how come nothing ever changes? How come either someone is going, we don't have enough money for cops, firemen, and teachers? All right, everything's the same. We're flush with money from Silicon Valley. All right, everything's the same. It's just this weird thing. It's like California, I don't know if all states are this, or they're like some kind of uncle that never stops complaining about being strapped or hitting it big at the track. Either way, he drives the same fucking Camry, he's married to the same bitch, and he lives in the same fucking house. And he smells the same, and he wears the same cardigan. What's the difference then?
It must be human nature, because on a micro level with all of us, it's like, imagine I'm finally done paying off that credit card bill or student loan, whatever. I have so much more cash, I'll invest, and I'll have so much extra money. And then 6 months later, you have the same amount of money, even though you are spending less.
That is true, but I would drive a nicer car and possibly live in a nicer home or put my money back into my business. You would see something. You would look around and go, oh, Adam Carolla has built out his podcast, built some new offices and a new studio. He must be making some money with that endeavor. But everything just seems to be the same always, whether we have money or we don't have money. And that's why I stop listening when they go, it's going to rain. You know how much cash this city or this state could have? Or do you know how strapped? It's all same potholes, same shitty
schools. So much bureaucracy, it seems to never get anywhere.
All right. Let me tell you about something that will get you somewhere. LegalZoom, baby. New Year's resolutions. You know what the two most popular are? Getting your life organized and starting your own business. And we can go ahead and kill two pigeons with one BB called LegalZoom. LegalZoom.com. You can get organized. You can do your last will, testament, or even your second to last will. That's right. I'm that organized.
There's going to be another one of these.
I have an after will, too, as well, for after I pass away. You can living trust. You can protect your assets, your family, peace of mind. You're starting a business. LegalZoom, baby. Help you launch your dream, save a ton of money. And they've helped over 1 million businesses get started. 9 out of 10 customers recommend LegalZoom. Do you believe that? And the one? I don't like that guy. He's a douche. Affordable protection, and they've earned an A-plus from the Better Business Bureau. LegalZoom, step by step, they'll help you start your business. They'll help you get organized. They have experts in law and technology. They are LegalZoom. Dawson?
LegalZoom is not a law firm, but can connect you with a third-party attorney and provide you with self-help services. For special savings, enter Adam in the referral box at checkout. Please don't let another month go before you take care of these things for your family and business. From wills to business formation, trademark applications, powers of attorney, and even bankruptcy help, go to LegalZoom.com.
All right. Let's do another.
Kesha has checked herself into rehab for an eating disorder. In a statement provided by her spokesman.
Is there S a dollar sign?
It is.
When did this just become the Wild West of names? Like everyone just goes, well, I'm going to do whatever I want with my facial hair and I'm going to make up a fake, funky, fucked up name. And I'll use symbols and shit. Like forget about letters.
For
anyway.
The A and Adam, you should do the ampersand, like the ad sign.
Yeah. It's my thing.
I want my eye to be a star in
okay.
Allison, but it's going to be dotted with an eye.
A smiley face.
It's a star dotted with an eye, dotted with a heart. So she said that she'll be unavailable for the next 30 days while she seeks treatment for an undisclosed eating disorder. Quote, I'm a crusader for being yourself and loving yourself, but I found it hard to practice.
Wow.
And she wants to learn to love herself again, exactly as she is.
Mm-hmm. Do you, I don't, it's a weird thing. Here's a weird thing. We work with women and young women and girls and stuff like that. We never stop the beating that you got to learn to love yourself kind of thing. I don't think that's ever brought up as a guy. As a male, no one ever says you have to learn to love yourself. Now, we're turning everyone into colossal pussies and that's probably starting now, but as a male, you know, like people would start laughing if I said I have to learn to love myself, or I did love myself, but I fell out in love with myself, and I found out I was fucking myself with another guy.
Yeah. You and yourself trying to patch things up with yourself.
I just loving yourself as a guy is not part of the equation. It's not on your list of things to do. It's neither here nor there.
Hating yourself something you do?
I think guys. Guys realize that loving yourself, hating yourself, or the way you feel about yourself is kind of neither here nor there. It's just sort of go to fuck to work, get your shit done, you know, don't get fat, whatever. Don't become an alcoholic. Don't beat strangers. Whatever it is, raise your family. But whether you love yourself along the process or along the ways, it's like, me thinking about what kind of socks I should pick out for Molly. Like, she doesn't wear them. She doesn't need them. She's fine. It's a waste of fucking time. There are insane people who do put socks on their dogs.
Right.
But I ain't one of them.
But they walk funny. Like, they walk
right.
off.
Did you, Brian, loving yourself.
I put socks on my dog. What?
Learning to love yourself and loving yourself.
I was raised, I think most, you're an exception to this rule. I think most people are raised with self-esteem or believe in yourself. You can accomplish anything, put your mind to that kind of thing. But loving yourself was never. You need to love yourself. That sounds like kind of a weird thing.
Loving yourself is a replace, and I agree with what both of you are saying. Loving yourself is a replacement, I think, for hating yourself, because a lot of women walk around feeling as if they hate themselves. They don't live up to a certain standard, so they have to. Okay, but besides this, do we agree? Believe that she has an eating disorder? Is she eating drugs?
I hate her, yes, because she's a spokesperson for loving herself and the tip of the love yourself spear, which is probably shaped like a vibrator. Either way, stop fucking loving yourself, everybody. Just get your shit going. Just get busy. You know what I mean? Like, the way you feel about yourself is really neither here or there than near, here or there. You should worry a lot more about what other people feel about you. A lot more. Like, the people who like themselves the most, I find people hate most of the time. So there you
right,
go.
Right, they're making up for a deficit.
Yes, you're living in a galaxy of hatred of you, but you're in love with you. Mm-hmm. Your planet, love with you.
Well,
or in love with you.
Loving yourself is sort of shorthand for a number of things, like I don't sleep around anymore because I love myself. I don't put that stuff into my body anymore because I love my – you know what I mean? It's a host of thing of behaviors you're changing under the guise of respecting yourself.
Yeah. People – you respecting yourself, people respecting you, you demanding that people respect you, you demanding that people demand that you love yourself more, whatever it is. It's just a fucking waste of time. Just people will think of you solely based on your actions, 99% of the time. Once in a while, some people look smarter than other people. Some people look like they'd be better at flying airplanes and things like that. But
some people walk into walls.
Some people walk
into
walls. Right. Either way, don't worry about trying to convince yourself to feel a certain way about yourself, and don't worry about trying to convince people around you to respect you or yell at them to respect you. That rarely works. Usually
but if,
makes them
but let's
get
say
away
there
from
was
me.
Like a young woman you knew who made horrible decisions in terms of the guys she dated, though, or who, you know, wanted a relationship but instead was just hooking up with someone hoping it would turn into something. Do you mm-hmm. think that that pattern has to do with her not having the right standards for herself?
I feel like there's behaviors, and there's definitely behaviors that need to be modified. But I don't think that they should be modified because you've learned to love yourself or because you now love yourself. I think they should be modified because they're not good behaviors, whether it's eating a quart of Haagen-Dazs at midnight or chain smoking or sleeping around and getting venereal diseases. As a human being, or as, you know, if this was any species on the planet, you'd probably tell them to knock it off. It's not, you know, we do it with our fucking pets. Like, if you think about what we do with our pets, if my wife sees me give a piece of fat or something to my dog, she'll be like, hey, come on, Molly's diabetic. Or if I, God forbid, if I threw a raisinette down and let her gobble that up, it'd be like, whoa, what are you doing? She ate special food. She's on a special diet. It's not only because she's diabetic. It's like we monitor what goes into our pets, the way we treat them, the way we take. We would never treat our pets like we treat ourselves. You know, if you think about
Sniff.
It. Yeah, I mean, you wouldn't give your pet a big wedge of cheesecake and then have them wash it down with a couple cocktails or something. You'd be like, that's insane, you know? So you should try to treat yourself like you're a member on this planet, but it's not about loving you or respecting you or any of that. It's just a piece of cheesecake every once in a while is okay, or sleeping around with a stranger every once in a while is okay, but you make a life out of it, then it's not okay. And that's just kind of where I'm at. I had a weird, it is so weird how, talk about kids and nature and nurture and all this kind of stuff and how insane these things are. My daughter is loud, banshee, screamer, puncher, nuts. Like I said, my son gives me a kiss on the lips. My daughter headbutts me. My daughter, if she's the kind of person who, if she's running at you to give you a hug, she doesn't slow down when she launches herself. She's like Troy Polamalu coming at you with that head. Just boom. But she fucking launches herself at you. And everything is nuts about it. And she has, and I say all the time.
She has the nose for the ball.
Yeah. My wife's mom passed away. Her name is Helen, and she was nuts. Like fourth degree black belt, louder than shit and nuts. My grandmother was named Helen. Not nuts, but louder than shit. I mean, just loud. And my daughter is very loud. And I said, I was sitting, I took my kids out yesterday. We were eating lunch. And my daughter said, how do you and mommy meet? And I said, well, we were at a, I went to a thing with Uncle Jimmy. And it was an event, and she's my terrified. Called Amateur Night. And we're at Jimmy the Sports Guy, like Monday Night Sports thing, and Lynette was working for some syndicator. I just shot Loveline, the TV pilot. I never saw it. She went there and she had it. We struck up a conversation. But I said, your mommy's very pretty and she's very nice. And so Daddy asked her out on a date, and my daughter was good. Two good moments. One moment where my daughter said, wait a minute, were we here yet? And my son went, no, stupid. Like, come on.
Yeah.
But it's a weird thing. When you're seven, you can't imagine not existing. You know, you're not doing the math.
But all this is here before me?
Right. So it was a weird thing. But my daughter looked at me and said, was her hair up or was her hair down? And I said, well, her hair was down. And she said, I knew it. And then later on, I got home and I said, you know, Lynette, I was talking to Natalia about meeting, how we met. And the first thing I remember, she wondered if your hair was up or your hair was down. And she said, God damn it. My crazy mom would like scream at me, you know, look, if you're going out, put your hair down. If you want to look nice, you're going to take a picture, put your hair down. And Natalia sits in the backseat of the car. And if mommy has her hair up in a ponytail, starts scraping at the back of her head to pull her hair out of the ponytail and get her hair down. And it's like, where the fuck's that come from? The longer I live, I'm getting much further away from nurture and much more into nature. And there's some sort of crazy gene of women on her side of the family that insist that women have their hair down. And my daughter's been doing it since she was 4 years old. No one taught her that. It's not like she was traumatized by a bun. There was a legal secretary, Prince Leia.
Never again.
Traumatized her with her hair up in those double buns or something. That's crazy Helen being channeled through young Natalia, louder than shit. My son's super quiet. My dad's super quiet. My mom is super quiet because her mom was louder than shit. She was attracted to somebody, meaning my dad, who didn't like to form sentences and things like that. So it's all very interesting. But first thing out of her mouth, hair down? Yes, hair down. Knew it. So, Interesting world we're living in. All right, let's bring it home, baby.
That's
girl.
That's the news. I'm Allison Rosen. Zip it, cunt. I don't sleep around anymore because I love myself.
That was the news with Allison Rosen.
Ah, DraftKings. My listeners are cleaning up with DraftKings. DraftKings.com. A few weeks ago, someone won $1 million on DraftKings. And you think the fantasy football season is over? Oh, no. We're just getting into the playoffs, man, Brian.
I literally just had that thought a little while ago. I was like, too bad fantasy's over. I'm like, no, of course DraftKings is still going. There's still 8 games being played or whatever every weekend for the next couple of weekends, and you can draft your team and play just like fantasy sports, man.
They are giving away $200 million. $200 million. Somebody listening, my listener is going to get a shot at some of that. Dawson, DraftKings, baby.
DraftKings is letting Adam Carolla listeners play for free to win real cash. Enter Adam at DraftKings.com for a quick free shot at your share of that $200 million pot. Hurry, this amazing offer expires this Friday. For details and your free entry, enter Adam at DraftKings.com. DraftKings.com.
Love the henter, baby. All right, me and Ileana Douglas and some other notables coming up this Friday at Cine Family. And we're going to be showing the hammer. You can go to adamcarolla.com if you want to find out tickets. They're not too big a place, and they're pretty cheap, so they're probably going to go pretty fast. Us, Chicago, Park West, coming up on Friday, January 31st. Two big shows out on stage doing the live podcast. Buffalo. Is that say main stage? Yeah, main stage theater. That'll be Saturday the 1st.
It'll be nice and warm.
Yeah, in February. So you can come out. Las Vegas, Treasure Island. That'll be February 21st with Joe Coy. So that'll be fun up on stage. Tickets will go fast for all that. So come on out and say hi. Have a little mangria. Detroit, everybody. Motor City Casino. That'll be me doing stand-up Thursday, January 30th. So again, say hi. The new books are out, my book and Bald Brian's book, available on Amazon. You know what to do. Click through, pre-order.
Pre-order, yeah.
Well, help us both get to the New York Times
Wouldn't
bestseller
that be awesome?
List. It'd be old hat to me, but for you, yeah, definitely awesome.
No, wouldn't it be awesome for you to like your coaching tree? You know what I mean? This is your book tree.
Yeah, awesome.
Little bitch.
Speaking of awesome, Alison Rosen, your new best friend, this week's guest, Jen Kirkman, and it's available on iTunes. Also, you can go online, go to AlisonRosen.com. New episodes every Monday and Thursday, and what else? Well, we'll keep you posted. Thanks so much for the new year, and until next time, Sam Kroll, Alison Rosen, Bo Bryant saying, mahalo. This is the year I start juicing.
For call-in times and phone topics, follow the show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Like Ace on Facebook, follow him on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Tickets and info on all of our live podcasts, stand-up, Mangria events, and more. Visit AdamCarolla.com.
Thanks for listening to the show, and let's not forget about our fine sponsor, Hulu Plus, baby. Who knew? Hulu! I did. You've tried Hulu.com. Yeah, it's good. This is better. This has a plus, not a minus, but a plus at the end. Sure, thousands of hit TV shows and movies right in your own living room. Or maybe you're on the road. Maybe you're on the go. Oh, man, weather, flight delays, airports. Who cares? You got a smartphone. You got a tablet. You got Hulu Plus. You got current TV shows like SNL, Jimmy Kimmel Live, Shark Tank, Scandal. You have... Or watch episodes of shows like Lost, Law & Order, SVU, Doctor Who, Community. They're all there. And you can watch exclusive Hulu originals like The Wrong Mans and Behind the Mask. Hulu's new doc series about the world of sports mascots. Plus ad-free movies and kids content. I got a special offer for my listeners only. You can try Hulu Plus free. That's right. Free. Try it for free. 2 weeks free. How do you do it? Go to HuluPlus.com/Adam. You get an extended free trial. Let them know I sent you. That's HuluPlus.com/Adam, and thank you.